Morning, Chairman. That's Stephen Mayne. I've got a question on Owen, but I think, firstly, a supplementary on what the ASA raised, Duncan said, and I don't think you quite understood the question. So I want to put it to you in very specific terms. Merrill Lynch appears in the annual report as our largest shareholder with 10.25% of the company, or 159 million shares. And ANZ Nominees appears twice in the top 20 with a total of 72 million shares, or 4.6% of the stock. So between those two, they've got 15% of the stock, or 230 million. Now, the great scandal and issue in recent weeks has been ANZ and Merrill Lynch funding through huge jumbo loans, which peaked last year at more than $5 billion, Tricom, Opus, Lyft Capital and Chimera, all of which ran the model of transferring the ownership of the shares to ANZ and Merrill's. So I think the question was, and it also alludes to this significant underperformance of the share price since March 3, have we been caught up in the mass liquidation of people's shareholdings by ANZ and Merrill's, as best you can ascertain?
The answer to that, Stephen, is not to our knowledge. Not we don't think at all. Now, as I said earlier, we don't know whether some private shareholders have had to service a margin call, but we have not been caught up in it. Let me say, we have enjoyed very good support from Merrill Lynch over many years. And
So that's Merrill Lynch as Merrill Lynch, not Merrill Lynch as nominee for third parties, as far as you know.
Well, but we haven't got it. As to not understanding the ASA question, I suggest you take that up with them.
All right. And the issue on Owen, I think a few of us are feeling a bit snookered here that you've done a couple of things. You haven't given us a vote on the merger. So you've used Oxiana as the vehicle which will go forward, even though it's nominally a merger of equals, and only Zinifex shareholders get the vote, which looks like you're conscious of the Owen issue and you're structuring this deliberately to avoid a shareholder revolt from the Oxiana shareholders, who, if given a vote, probably would have done what happened with the TATS and Unitab merger, where the shareholders overrode the combined board's desires and imposed Dick McIlwain on the boards, and they relented. And the same thing with ASX and SFE Corp, where the shareholders of SFE Corp in particular, who did have a vote, revolted and said, no, we want Robert Elston to run the combined business, and that's what happened. Now, if we were given a vote here, I'm pretty sure the same thing would happen. So my specific question is, if the board takes a decision after the merger is approved to change the personnel, where are the liabilities? We saw a massive $7 million payout to the ousted CEO of the ASX when he got rolled by the shareholders. So the specific question is, if the board makes a change, how much will we have to pay Mr. Mitchell more? And are we paying out Owen's contract? So how much are we paying Owen to stop being our celebrated and widely applauded CEO? Are we having to make the multi-million dollar payout of his contract? And if we decide we'd rather not do that, and we'd rather pay Owen the millions to keep working and give a few million to Mr. Mitchell more instead, exactly how big would the figure be to pay out his contract?
In relation to Owen's contract, I discussed at last year's AGM and the terms of it. The terms of his termination are in the annual report, and it will be as per contract. There is no great ex gratia payment to fill Owen's pockets. He'd like that, but there's nothing like that. In terms of Andrew's contract, I guess he has a contract with Zinifex. We have looked at that and said we can, in a merged entity, probably adopt a very similar framework for the merged entity. In that, he would also have the usual protections that a CEO taking on a new role would want, but in the event that the board that terminates his services, there will be certain protections in there, and we would adhere to that. That would be the situation whenever we appoint a CEO. There's nothing unusual in this. People, of course, don't know Andrew, perhaps, as well as they know Owen, and feel a sense of loss that Owen is no longer going to be the CEO. We recognise that. Let me tell you, the way in which this scheme is being conducted wasn't driven by that, or wasn't driven by anything. It's just you pick the simplest possible way in which you can get things done. That's the truth of the matter. We're here, Owen's here, we've been around talking to all the institutions, and Owen and Andrew have appeared on the same stages, and we've been as open as possible about the way this is being conducted. Owen was not going to go on forever, and that was his own wish. I'm extremely pleased that we've been able to keep his engagement, and I think the shareholders can take great comfort.
Owen, you're looking very comfortable in the chair there. How does it feel?
Quickly out of order, Stephen.
I do have a serious question, actually. I couldn't see in the annual report how old Barry is. How old's Barry?
I am about to become a little older in a few weeks. I am mid-60s.
Now, the argument was put that Owen's getting on and he's only late 50s. So it's actually quite a serious question here. Is it Barry's intention to serve a full term? The John Howard question, are you going around the block once too often here? You're very experienced. And the old John Howard line about you'll stay as long as it's in the best interest of the party and as long as your party wants you. I think that if the party was asked, they would say, successor chairman of the combined would be the man who's currently in the chair, Owen Hegarty, the founder of the company. So my question to Barry is, does he think that's a crazy idea in the longer term? And is it his intention to serve a full term as the chairman of the combined business? Thanks.
First of all, you couldn't ask that question in most jurisdictions in the world. You're not allowed to ask people about their age. Second, it's not how long you've lived, it's how long you've got left that counts. And the third thing is, have I got the will, the passion, the ability to serve this company in the role that I consider an enormous responsibility and an enormous privilege? My answer to that is yes. I feel Owen's passion. We may demonstrate our passions in different ways, as my wife often told me, for God's sake, tell me once you love me. So the answer to that is yes. Now you ask, will I serve? This is an Oxiana meeting, and as such, I will tell you that it is my intention to serve. I am standing for re-election. Will I serve as long as people want me? Yes, that's the nature of boards. If people don't want me as chairman, I only have to vote it down. It's as simple as that. And so, yes, in terms of will I serve as long as they want me? Yes.
Chairman, why didn't you just go up to 1.5 or 1.7, which is what you're probably going to need for an expanded board? There'll be a major mining house. You're going to have a 10-person board. You're doubling the size of the board. I think you probably should have just actually done the real increase, because I'm assuming that if you're going to pay your directors properly, I mean, Owen should be on $300,000 to $500,000 a year as a non-executive director to keep him there. You need to pay our directors, including Owen, properly. So why haven't you actually just done the full increase here rather than this business as usual thing when it's not business as usual?
Yeah, thank you. Well, as I said, this is based on the fact that this is for Oxiana surviving as Oxiana entity, not a merged entity. In the event that the scheme gets up, then we will have to have an EGM to appoint the directors to the new board, or to ratify the appointment of directors to the new board, and again, we will have to address this issue to make sure we do have the cap necessary to sustain that board.
But that's what I'm saying. Why haven't you just done it today?
Because I think we have other shareholders who would say, why would you create that sort of cap if Oxiana is the survivor and there isn't a merger? It would be seen as perhaps by many as too much. So we make a judgment that this would be adequate for me to be able to pay the directors fairly and to appoint new directors to Oxiana to replace Peter Cassidy and provide one additional full succession.
Chairman, I just want to make a couple of final comments about... is there a chance at the end of this, after this resolution, for one last question?
If it's related to this resolution, is that what you...
Well, I just want to make some final comments. So is that at the end of the meeting, or is that now? Because I can relate it to this resolution, if you'd like.
Stephen, if you want a platform, this is not a platform for you. What I'm asking here is shareholders to ask questions. I'm asking for a question on this resolution. If it is to address that, then please ask it.
Okay. Chairman, I want to put to you that I think we should all support this resolution very strongly, because Oxiana has been a unique company in Australia in recent years, and it needs to pay its directors properly. Australia has a terrible history of resources management blundering our resources. We've seen it with BHP and their embarrassment with Octeti. We've seen it with Rio and Freeport-McMoRan. We've seen it with Newcrest in Indonesia. We've seen it with the mud from Santos. Oxiana is a rare beast in that it is an Australian-owned, Melbourne-run company with a predominantly Australian-based directors. Australia has far too many foreign-owned resource assets. It's a disgrace that assets like... We've got nothing in Mount Isa left. We've got nothing of the Super Pit. We've got 10% of the Northwest Shelf. And Oxiana, when it combines with Zinifex, will be flying the flag for Australian-run, unlike BHP, who's had to bring in expats for the last three CEOs, unlike Rio Tinto, which has only got 2 out of 15 directors who are Australians and have had to go for an expat to run that Oxiana is a unique business, and we should pay its directors properly, and we should hail the job that Owen Hegarty has done in building an Australian-owned, Australian-run mining house that can proudly fly the flag in Asia, that's done a fantastic job on those social responsibilities, no scandals going into developing countries. And I think that we should pay our directors properly, and we should all strongly vote in favour of this resolution because of the fantastic job that Owen Hegarty has done as the CEO in the past. And hopefully, when the board has a change of plan, we'll continue to do as the CEO in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen, for your comments. I don't think there was a question there.